It's really, really good to be here. My name is Gideon Nash, and I'm here to bring the Word of God to you. And today our theme will be Good, Good Father. Good, Good Father. Okay. My slides will be up in a short while, and we get going. Hallelujah. Thank you. Our message will be coming from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through to 32. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. Luke 15, 11 to 32. Good, good Father. Good, good Father. Let me read scripture to you whilst those guys are fiddling with their machines. Perhaps it would be good for me to pick you in the background to this. See, the tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them get lost, what will he do? I'm reading from chapter 15, verse 1 onwards. Wouldn't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven and over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and won't and haven't strayed away. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Wouldn't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God. In the presence of God's angels, when even one sinner repents. Now I come to our passage, which I would like to read to you. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living and parties. About the time his money had run out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his field to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pots he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against you, both heaven and you. And I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as one of your hired servants.'" So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with this feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. Meanwhile, the oldest son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants what was going on. Your brother is back, he was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was very angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, please come in. But he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all the time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Amen. Amen. That's a beautiful story, isn't it? I read from the New Living Translation. You're thinking if I've gone to polish my English, it's just because I'm using a different translation. Right. It is time for celebration. We celebrate fathers. I know Mother's Day, the place will be packed, and probably over the seams. When it comes to Father's Day, they just push the mothers forward and the children forward and they stay home. But we are so grateful to you all being here. As the story's been read, our theme is good, good father. Fatherhood is a godly provision. Fatherhood is a godly provision. Why am I saying this? I would like us to go back a little bit into Genesis. Into Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28 and verse 31. You see what God says. I would say this, that creation and procreation brings to the fore a man. And of course a woman. And the man called a father. It is God's intention that a man will be a father. Why am I saying this? Perhaps I like us to read a little bit from scripture. That will help us. So if you've got your Bibles with you, I would like you to turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 onwards. And we read, then God said, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subjugate it, and rule over it, and dominate over it, over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. So God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the entire earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding the seed, it shall be food for you. And to all the animals on the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that moves on the ground, to everything in which there is the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he has made, and behold, it was very good. And he validated it completely. And there was evening, and there was morning, a sixth day. Amen. This came from the Amplified Version. I'm reading more than English, right? Because Father's Day, fathers are modern people, right? Sometimes we see fathers as old and grumpy and everything, but they are good, good fathers. Fathers are good. Say amen to that. So we said God created man, and he created him to be a father. God made man, that is the fathers, to be authority figures. So to bring rulership. So to bring rulership in their sphere of influence, especially the home in particular. And to be stand-up guys or stand-up people and be counted when it matters. God made this possible, that you and me will be at the point that every man will be an authority figure. So today being Father's Day, what I'm trying to provoke you fathers to understand, and even mothers and children to understand, is that the father must be an authority figure. I did not say authoritarian, right? Oh, a bully in my language. You're not to intimidate your family, but to be authoritarian person. To be a person of authority. That means stand up when it matters. You see, you're not a father to be led, as it were, in the home, but to bring leadership in the home. So today, being a Father's Day, we're talking about you being a leader in your home. And the question is, are you that leader that God wants you to be? You got to be an authority figure. You got to bring rulership in your sphere of influence. When you renege on that, then you are literally giving up your responsibility as a father. God said, be fruitful and multiply, as we read in verse 28. God is looking for fruitfulness and abundance from the Father after his own image and likeness. God is not looking for failed fathers, but fruitful ones. So today, ask yourself, are you a fruitful husband or a fruitful father in that extent? Or you are a failed father? I'm not talking necessarily about having kids. But if you're a father in a home, are you fruitful? Or you are a failed father? Failed fathers do not stand in the image of God or the likeness of God. And they are not fruitful. But the fruitful ones literally behave like God will behave in every situation. Now, I'm not talking about the image and the likeness of God is like looking like God or resembling him in a physical appearance. Because the Bible said no one has seen God before. So if you want to be like God in the physical sense, I'm sure that will be a big, big challenge. I don't know whether you have to change your looks or do some Botox. Is that the right way to put it? Or any other thing. You have to think about it, that God is looking for fruitfulness. And he's looking for the image and the likeness. It's not a physical looks, but a spiritual personality and the moral authority of the Heavenly Father. So the fathers that we are looking for, that we are talking about as good, good fathers, as created in the image of God, is that God created fathers, men, to be fathers and to bring the spiritual authority or the spiritual personality and moral authority like the Heavenly Father. So if you're a father, you have to bring spiritual leadership as well in your home. It's your responsibility to be praying for your children. It's your responsibility to be praying for your home, that it will be well with you. So if you're a father and you're not doing this, then you are saying, God, you know what? You are a liar. Just like Tracy was reading from Numbers. But God cannot lie. His word is true. And we are sitting here because the word of God is sure and the word of God guides our lives. So today, Father's Day, I am challenging you and challenging myself as a father. Are you bringing the spiritual personality in the home? And if your father is not that way, it is your responsibility to pray for that person to begin to have that spiritual personality in the home. Because if it is not there, the home gets broken sometimes. And so many homes are struggling because that spiritual personality is missing. And these days, even in our own world, in our own country, that spiritual personality is missing. And therefore, our kids and our children are more into those gadgets, right? Their life is all in. They can spend 8 hours a day, probably average 5 hours into the gadget, but little about anything spiritual. They say they don't like that. It's boring. It's not true. The enemy's lie. But also sometimes the failure is from the father who have not brought that image and likeness of God in the home. They have not brought the moral authority of the heavenly father at home. Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. It also means that God wants you to bring abundance and a lot of his image in the home. God also wants the father to be a provider. And he also wants that father not only to be a provider, but also to be a good person in the home. Maybe that may not be your reality, but in fact, that is God's reality. That is how God made it to be. And today, talking about Father's Day, we are talking about fathers that will be there and who will be a father to be that provider and bring home abundance of provisions required for the home so that people will enjoy. I think about my own home. I mean, my father is diseased right now for several years now. But during the time that he was alive, we never lacked anything. There was so much abundance in our home that all around us, I believe that some of my friends will envy us because they would like to come and live in our home. That's where they live. That's where they eat their lunches. Soon after school, they don't want to go home. It's like after school club in my home. So God is saying that the father should be the provider and a good person. You argue with me that these days, oh, mothers are the providers. Yes, some mothers are. But God made it that if you're a father, you cannot be lazy. You cannot be sit down for your wife to mind you, right? You cannot sit down for the social to mind you, yes? Can I hear a big yes?
Yes.
Thank you. Because somebody is putting that money there. Somebody is working to put it there. So why not you? You understand? Social is there to meet the needs of those who might otherwise fall through the net. And if you're a father, your role is to make sure that you are a provider and you work hard. I'm saying all these things to come to a point of our message today. God created them to be very, very good. And what I like in the Amplified version is that, and God saw everything that he has created, it was good. That is, after he created man and talked about all the things that he had already created, man was the culmination of God's creation. And God said, it was very good. And this translation said, and God validated everything, simple English. That means God gave his stamp and approval that this is very good. Do you understand that? So God validated fathers as very, very good people. So God created them to be very good. And he validated, them completely. And from there on, God rested so that man can represent God as a father here on earth. Did you get that? So that fathers will represent God here on earth. So if you're here today, then you are a father, you have that big responsibility to represent the Almighty God here on earth. And you need to ask for that grace and mercy and help of the Holy Spirit to be able to do this. It's a big thing. But God is not sitting back folding his arms. He said, I will be with you. I am with you. And God is going to help you do that. That's the more reason why you have to depend upon God, the spiritual God, the supernatural God, and literally take resources and strength from him on a daily basis to be able to become that good, good father. Because of that huge responsibility on fathers, fathers are under tremendous pressure. And the tremendous pressure will come from the enemy to make sure that you are not that good, good father that God wants you to be. He wants to make sure that you abdicate your responsibility and leave home and make sure that you're not there for your family. You're not there for your children. You're not there when you are needed. There'll be so much pressure on you to, even so busy at work, you leave first thing in the morning, you come last thing in the evening. And your excuse is that I'm making what? A living for your family. But God didn't say that you have to leave them. He wants you to be good, good father. Hallelujah. Hey, lostness can also happen when your father is no more. Lostness can also happen when your father is no more. And from my initial reading that I brought to you earlier on from Luke chapter 15 from verses 1 to 10, Jesus told this story about lostness. And the first two stories said a man had 100 sheep. And one was lost. But he did everything to find that sheep because it was important to him. And after he found that, he called his neighbors and said, come and rejoice with me, for I found my lost sheep. And Jesus says, so the same way God rejoices when one sinner turns and come home. And then he goes on to tell the second story that, and a woman, had 10 coins and loses one, will she not light up a lamp and go to every corner and every cringe and to look for that coin to bring it home? And after she's found it, she'll call her neighbors and say, hey, I found my coin. Let us celebrate. And even the angels of the heaven will celebrate. That is the way of God. The issue for fathers sometimes is lostness. No man set out to be a bad father, but sometimes we lose our way. Sometimes we lose our way because we may get too busy. And when you get too busy and you don't play your role as a father in a home, one day your kids, they will forget about all the good things that you've done to them, and they said, Father, you was never there for me. It's almost like a modern phenomenon that most children blame their fathers. Oh, he was never there. Oh, he was never there. But they forgot that he was there. But those few times that he wasn't there, probably during the school time that they had to be there to make sure that they go to meet their teachers and hear how their kids are doing, or sometimes even make the effort to take them to school, to see them go walking, so that they can feel so proud and know their father is so tall. I remember someone was saying that they see their father as someone tall, right? Or strong. Big. That was the word. So the children want to feel that their father is big, strong. He's the strongest person on earth. He can beat everybody. When they get into trouble, they can call him. He solves all the problems. I mean, children see fathers like that, isn't it? They look up to them. They know the mothers are sure they're there. But when it's trouble, they don't worry too much about mothers. They think fathers will sort them out. They look up to you. No one set out to be a bad father, but the issue is lostness. You got to be there in their lives. You got to be there when they need you. You got to be there also reading for them at night, even when they are kids. Did any of you fathers do that? Okay. That's being honest. Right. Okay. Let me move on a little bit. Right. So what I'm trying to say is that you've got to be part of the children's life. You cannot leave everything to the mothers because you are a father. You represent God here on this earth. Everything that God would do for his children to be good and to have the best of everything or to attain their redemptive potential, it's in your hand as a father to do that. And you need God's help to come alongside you to do that. That's why this story is always referring to God. So it is that in heaven, God rejoices. So in heaven, the angels rejoice when that lostness is rescued back into the home of the father. But the good father is interested in bringing back to the fold that which was lost in all aspects. So somehow it may mean that you have to look at your work schedules and you know what, that business is not going to collapse if you don't leave home at 4 and come in the evening. When I was much younger, I mean, I thought probably work cannot go on without me because I had responsibilities and I had to leave home first in the morning and drive into central London and then lasting when everybody is going home. I'm sitting down and in the computers and making sure that the last dot is actually punched on the keyboard before I get home. And by the time I get home, I'm so exhausted. And probably the kids maybe, or the children may be asleep. And even there's no conversations. Come weekend, you are thinking of weekday again or workday again. Now, the challenge for us as people of God is this, that we have to, especially the fathers here, to have to be good fathers. And God is interested in bringing us back into the fold in all aspects. And it pleases the Lord and the angels of heaven to see the lost come home. There is nothing more delightful and godly than to see the father playing his rightful role in the home. It is a godly thing, or it is godly for man to play the rightful role as a father. So if you are doing that, you are doing what God would do. You see, I keep repeating myself because I want you to get that message, that you are a representative of God here on this earth. And in your home, you represent God. That's why you have to bring spiritual oversight. You become the authority figure, the moral, responsibilities upon your shoulders to drive things. And you have to be the provider. And when you lose your way, God says, come back, son. Come back, son. Come back, son. Come back, son. And when your father is no more, that could be equally painful. There are some here, like myself, whose father is no more. And a day like this can be very, very painful for anyone who has no father. Especially if you had a good father and you know about the good things that you had, and it's no more, it can be very difficult. And if I alluded to my own situation, I remember when we lost our fathers, children, there were so many of us, life was visibly different. It was visibly difficult because my mom was an only child. And she came from a home that, everybody seemed to be distant. Not that it is a dysfunctional home, it's just that because she was an only child and there was no other sibling and all other cousins thinking, oh yeah, you've had a good time. Now, your bread and bacon is gone. You're one of us. So, I don't know whether it was as a result of being spiteful or anything, but it was quite difficult for us. And some of the older siblings had to go and live with some cousins and uncles. And it wasn't a very pleasant thing. And that began almost like a home that was once very strong cohesion. By this time, not anymore. And for several years, we struggled to come together. Why? Because there's lostness of the father in the home. And I'm sure today some of you are looking back and thinking, gosh, when my father was around, he was an encourager. When my father was around, he was the provider. When my father was around, he was always directing me and telling me what to do. And when I have problems, I'll really go to him. And his voice, obviously, sound much louder and obviously authoritative, and it is very assuring. It's not there anymore. And you'll be thinking, oh gosh, I wish I have that father. But we thank God that we have that Heavenly Father who is a good, good Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me progress a little bit with our message, the prodigal and the good father. The prodigal and the good father. And Jesus Christ started in verse 12 by saying this. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. A man had two sons. Now, I'll read verse 2 as well to you, verse 12 as well to you. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. I don't know why the father did it then. And I don't know what went into the younger son's head. They say, give me my inheritance right now. But what I'm gleaning for it on a Father's Day, which I want to bring to your attention, is that there are two sides to fatherhood. There are two sides to fatherhood. And it's a matter of choice which side we want to be as a father. When one makes that wrong choice or choices, the privilege of fatherhood can be wasted. The privilege of fatherhood can be wasted and sometimes frustrated as well. That privilege is wasted in the sense that we don't stand in our way. And just like this son, the Bible said he went on a few days later. This younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living and parties. When one makes the wrong choice, in most instances, it does not end well when one abdicates the responsibility of fatherhood. The psychological and emotional trauma that follows that abdication of that responsibility of making wrong choices and going far away lingers on. And in most cases, fathers yearn to fill their bellies. How do I say that? Because we read that this son was at a point that he was so hungry, there was so much famine, he stood there and he looked at the pig swill that he was pushing in there in the throat, and he wondered, oh God, if only I can fill my belly with some of these things. And I want to assure you that if you haven't had a good experience of a father and the father is not at home, I just want you to know that the father is not enjoying not being at home. There is something working on their mind because the Spirit of God that is speaking to them. Their consciences are being challenged. That you got to take your role as a father. And they are listening. But would they do that? And this child sat and said, if only I can go to my home, my father's house, and do that. They yearn to become real and good fathers and to be fulfilled again. Unfortunately, a lot of fathers don't know how to do that. A lot of fathers don't know how to do that. So they rather become very nasty, and others become too proud to say sorry. They thus continue to be distant, uncooperative, and absent. It's just stubbornness because they decided we don't want that. We want to be that stubborn. And I just want you to know that if your father today is being that stubborn, it's because God is speaking to him about his responsibility of being a father. And it is your responsibility as a child to pray for that father. And if you're a wife or a mother, pray for that father so that father will stand in his stead to do what he's supposed to be doing. Say amen to that. We want our fathers to do that. I mean, I've never seen a father who set up, or a man who set up, to say, you know what, I'm going to have children. And when I have children, I'm going to be the worst father ever happened. Nobody says that. They look forward to that. In my own instance, I've had three children. And I remember that every child that was born, I hold them in my hand, and somehow I'm filled with so much emotions and tears just run down my face. Each one of them. I remember the last one I said I would never feel that way. And I didn't know how I was feeling exactly that way. It tells you that we are good, good fathers. Nobody set out to be good, to be bad. But choices that we make it that way. Pride sometimes make us come that way. But some of us said, you know what, I've never met my father. Of course you have a biological father. I've never known anyone who's never had a biological father. If you haven't, tell me. True or false? You're not even sure, are you? It's absolutely true. Every child and every person that is born will have a biological father. Whether by artificial insemination or by test tube baby or by whatever means, there's got to be a father. The Bible said a man and a woman, right? It happens that way. I know somebody who said, oh, I was adopted, so I have no father. I tell you what, there's somebody who made sure that you became a human being. And God was behind it too. So, in all this situation that we are wrestling with today, I mean, it's probably maybe think, oh gosh, I'm so muted, I'm so nice today. Because it's fathers and I'm a father, so I have to be nice to fathers, right? So, but what I'm trying to bring to your attention is that somehow along the line, pride will prevent us from saying sorry. Because we've lost our way and filling our bellies with other things which we think is a priority, we don't even want to even think about that notion of being a father, even though he's still bugging us or will be bugging you wherever you are. You can be as absent as you want. Because I've seen many people who never, never, never took responsibility for their kids, but when their children grow up and they begin to achieve anything, or especially when they are graduating, then soon their fathers want to put on their suit and go to the graduation. I will tell you, don't come. They don't know how you got a nappy on. They don't know how you had, dinner money. They don't know how you went on the school trip. They don't know how you went on the holiday. They don't know how you grew up. But suddenly, they come and they started grinning. I am your father. Of course, they are your children, all right. But have you taken that responsibility? So if you are one of them today, I'm challenging you that you are abdicating your responsibility as a father. And God wants you to be his representative here on this earth, to bring the spiritual, authority, and to also to make sure that the moral responsibility in the home and the children's life is upon you. Hallelujah. Some of you may say, well, my father would never come home. I even hate him. I don't want him to come. Please don't hate him. Don't hate him. He's made wrong choices. And the Bible said that if one person get lost, will he not do everything to look for that person and bring that person home? And bring that person home. The good father will finally come to his senses. A good father comes to his senses. But sometimes it's not very easy to come to their senses. Somebody may be praying for you. Because if you look into the story, you can see that the Bible said that the father was looking forward to, looking on the wayside, on the road, looking forward for the son to come home one day. So sometime along the line, somehow along the line, we should also begin to pray for that good father to come home. We have to be looking forward to that. It may well be that if your father is dead, then or has passed on, the father will not come as you see it physically. But then we have a good, good father. So we are praying to God and say, God, you know what? I want that fatherhood to be experienced in my life once again. And somehow you have to pray that, God, you know what? That I can experience that fatherhood even in the absence of my father, my biological father. I really want that to happen in my life. The good father will look at that. The good father will finally come to his senses and go home to his father, God, and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm not worthy of being called your son. Please take me as one of your hired servants. That's what a good father will do when they come to their senses. So in your home, I want to plead with you to pray that if you're a mother and your father, your husband is not being that father for you, it is your responsibility also to take, because they've abdicated that authority, that spiritual authority. You take that spiritual authority and pray so that they will come, and then you can pass it on to them and say, you know what? I held it for you for a little while so that you can come and take your responsibility. Will you do that? Only one person will. So take that upon yourself, because if you don't take that upon yourself, your children lose out. If you don't take that upon yourself, you lose out yourself, because something is missing in the home. And when fathers are missing in the home is much poorer. The home is much poorer. This day, people are telling that it's all right. You don't have to have a father. You can. I mean, some women even set up to say, you know what, I only want the child, but I don't want the father in my home, because I don't want no man to come and mess my life up. Does that sound like you? Or have you heard it before? Exactly. That's being selfish here. That is being selfish here. But what we are saying is the fathers are supposed to be good people. So pray for the good ones. And if you are here today and you probably think one day I will get married and have children, then pray that you have that good father in your home. Begin to pray. Don't wait until he's walking to your home and then you start praying. Because at that time it may be almost too late, because you can't change somebody when they're already in your home. Nobody can. Because sometimes when they get into your home, you think that you want to change them. You can't. Then the struggle starts. So start changing them before they walk into your home. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. See, the good father will be delighted to have you in his arms. And as this younger son came to his senses and turned around and said, I'm going to go to my father and say, Father, you know what? I'm so sorry. I'm not worthy for you to take me as your son, but treat me as one of your father's, your hired servants. And we read that when he saw him coming, he rushed and embraced him. And he rushed and embraced him. And when he embraced him, his son said, he kissed him. I just want to read from the scripture so that you don't understand. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servant, Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. Father is looking for those fathers. I mean, our Heavenly Father is looking for those fathers who would like to come home so that he would take them in his arms, and he would like to literally clothe you again, to shield you from your nakedness. All those things that you've been involving out there, nobody knows, nobody understands. All those times that you've been away from God and you're away from your family, I just want you to understand that you look naked out there. You need to be clothed again in the glory of the Father. And God had to bring a robe. The Heavenly Father brought a robe around the son and clothed him. And what did he do? The Bible says that he also put a ring on his hand. God is ready to renew his covenant with you in giving of rings to put on your finger. Just like in a marriage ceremony, we say we marry by giving rings, right? So God wants to do that to make sure that he is married to you again. And also he wants to shod your feet with new sandals so that you walk worthy of your calling as a father. God wants fathers to walk worthy of their calling. And there are so many of us not walking worthy of our calling. And God surely is not pleased. But the good news is that his arms are open to welcome you. Why is this? Say, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. He was dead, but found. Sometimes our fathers may be living, but it's even sometimes even better if they're dead to some of us. Or sometimes they look as dead as anything. Somehow, God said, look, your father may be dead right now, not physically dead, but your father was lost but has returned home. And God is able to bring them home. Please don't give up. Our good Father, our Heavenly Father, did not give up. And the last point that I want to bring to your attention is, dear son, everything I have is yours. That was the oldest son. The older son was upset. The Bible said that he was on the field. He was working. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, what was going on? Your brother is back, he was told. And your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was very angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. But he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. But his father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but is now found. The good father is represented here by the older son. And some of you are very good fathers on this Father Day. You have stayed home and close to the father's heart all this while. You've done all that God requires of you as a father. You have been in the fields. You've been working and looking for that money and looking for all the responsibility, making sure there's insurance there, there's some investment there, making sure that everything is good for your children and for your home. You've been doing that. And God says, thank you, Father. You've done all your responsibilities. Yes, we know that in all probability, the prodigal son has squandered all the father's wealth on prostitute. However, don't be angry, but rather have mercy and compassion. And I like this quotation of Psalm 103, verse 13. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. And today, God is saying that he's a compassionate God. He's loving and tender to all those who fear him. And he's going to be a father to you. So today I pray that your life will be a sacrifice for your family if you're a father. Your life will be a life of love to your family. Your life will be a life of mercy and compassion to your family. God wants you to be that way to your family. And don't get it wrong. And don't turn to the next person on your right and say, no, you've never been a good father, and castigate them. And if you're a child, please don't point too much fingers at your father. You see, what we say can happen. If you say something bad, it's a curse. And that can happen. So in spite of all these things we are saying to you, children, in spite of all these things we are saying to you, mothers, in spite of all these things we are saying to you, good fathers, let us be compassionate. Let us be loving, even towards them. You'll be thinking, really? These are nasty people. They're not nice. They're not there. They're not helpful. They wear me out. Why should I do that? Yes, our good father is loving and compassionate. And that is exactly what he did. And this older son, the father turned to him and said, son, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. So God's intention is that whatever you do, don't be angry, don't be frustrated, for everything that God has, it is in your hands. Everything that you need to be that father, everything that you need for life to sustain you, everything that you need for your children to go well, everything that you need for everything to come together for you, God says, I've provided it for you because you have been that good father. Don't be angry. And this story, as I conclude, is also to remind us, some of you who are here and you are far from God and you don't know God for that reason. You don't know Jesus Christ as your forgiven leader. You'll be walking and you don't even know God as your Father. And God looks far-fetched from you. I just want you to know that you are that lost child. You are that lost coin. You are that lost sheep. And God says, come home. He needs you to say, God, I've come back to my senses. I'm not worthy to be called a son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So today God is calling you. God is calling fathers. Now in response, I'm going to pray for people. And probably you've been sad for a while, but I just want to call out some prayer time. It's not to shame anybody, but to affirm everybody. I want to pray for people who have been good fathers. You know you are a good father, right? I mean, you don't need anybody to tell you. Maybe your kids can tell you. If you've been a good father, and somehow you've been struggling with things, and sometimes it's been a challenge for you, and been thinking, you know what, sometimes fatherhood can be challenging at home, you know? Sometimes after doing so much, it appears your children even don't seem to realize or appreciate that. And you'll be wondering, God, is it worth being a father? And today I'm saying that if you are that good father who stayed by God and done God's appropriate thing and worked after God's heart and walked after God's heart, today I want to pray for you and to say thank you. So this is rather up to you, really. If you are that good father, I would like you to stand right now.